This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Ekblad toward the net. Score! Anton Lundell ties this game at 3.
Time, and it's a simple recipe.
Score! What an answer! Mitch Marner puts the Leafs back in front. And Toronto hangs on in game 2.
Shot, save, it's loose, score! What an effort by the Moose, who was loose in front.
To the net,
score! Mikko Rantanen does it again. He deflects the shot from the point. It's his second goal of the game.
Duchesne, nice job. Sends it across, Rantanen in front,
score! Rantanen again! It's a hat trick in Winnipeg.
Playoff scorer from the draft class of 2015. You know who's ahead of Mikko Rantanen?
2015.
This should not take more than a second and a half. Oh my goodness. What a blistering start to Sabres Live. Oh my. Marty, no. They're going head to head. It's McDavid Eichel draft class. Oh. Connor is obviously number one and only ahead of
The draft years, they confuse me, like 2015, 16, 12.
Live here in 2015? Like, I get
I
it.
Did.
Like, I hate and don't give a crap about most drafts, but, like, we can't run from 2015 here in these
But
parts.
Maybe it's like, my brain is trying to shut it off, but I, like, people are talking about the 2003 draft because, you got Marc-Andre Fleury retiring and, Corey Perry's still playing. I'm like, I don't know. The 2003 draft doesn't mean anything to me. It's just there was a great draft class that year. You tell the 2003 draft, it doesn't really mean anything to me. But Mikko Rantanen is a beast, or should I say a moose, because he has been unbelievable the last, four games now, or three games, but he's been unbelievable.
Since he stepped into the NHL. He has 116 playoff points, trailing only McDavid, who has 130. No one has more playoff goals in that time than Rantanen, who is now up to 42 after back-to-back hat tricks. Nobody has more playoff game winners than Rantanen, who has 7. And he is on an unprecedented, never-seen-before pace of being in on 12 straight Dallas goals here in the postseason. Something we talked about late in the year when Pasternak got on his role regular season-wise with Boston. But yeah, this for a million reasons, is the biggest story in the NHL right now. How it happened against his former club, mm-hmm. how it happened after unsettled times in Carolina post-trade, and even to a certain extent Dallas, amidst the great wonderment of, like, what is Mikko Rantanen going to look like, even though he has posted star to superstar numbers in the course of his NHL career, what is he going to look like outside of Colorado? Like, how bad does this hurt for the Avs and or the Hurricanes every day moving forward? Like, and I get it. Like, we see star. This is actually a great reminder of why you get the often stupid sounding, but perhaps right cliche, that whoever gets the best player in the trade wins the trade. Obviously, right? And this is where we are today. All due respect to everything that Colorado may have acquired and Logan Stankoven and everything that Carolina may have acquired. Hey, Carolina could win the cup. Who knows? I mean, it's possible.
Well, you know what, you say that, and it's kind of funny because it is usually whoever gets the best player wins the trade. But because we're talking about the Dallas and the Winnipeg Jets, you know, I was reminded just the other day how the Winnipeg Jets acquired Neil Pionk, who is now the guy that plays a ton with Morrissey not there. It was a Jacob Trouba trade to the New York Rangers. And it was all like, hey, the New York Rangers are getting Jacob Trouba. They win the trade. Well, Trouba was the captain and ended up being like, good, but not the same. And now Pionk was basically a throw in, like somebody that was like, oh, along with this guy. And he is potentially their number two defenseman and now playing as a top defenseman without Josh Morrissey. So sometimes you got to give it some time. I don't blame the Carolina Hurricanes one bit. They tried to acquire a player like Mikko Rantanen. It was a really, really, you know, gutsy type of trade, something that we don't see a lot come in from the Hurricanes. And Eric Tulsky tried. And
that's not true. They acquired Jake Guentzel last year.
Yes, they did.
Well, so they're two trades ahead of almost everybody in the league. Don't say they don't.
But it was not like my view with Guentzel was they acquired him as a rental and they were like, whatever happens, happens. When they acquired Rantanen, I didn't see him as a rental. I saw him as, we want to get him. We want to keep him here. That's somebody, because they traded Marty Natchez for him. So, and Natchez was a guy that was rumored the summer before as maybe being on the way out. So Carolina's like, okay, we'll trade Natchez. We'll acquire Rantanen. We want to make a big move, a big splash, right? And that's what it felt like. Rantanen didn't want to stay there. So they turn around and they trade him. I don't blame Carolina. They made their swing. They end up with Stankoven. Maybe it works all good for them. Colorado, on the other hand, I feel like now this is coming to a head in Colorado because they lost to Dallas and Rantanen barely scored a hat trick in the third period of game 7. And also because of Nathan MacKinnon's comment after the trade and after the series, where after the trade, he was very much distraught by the whole thing. Like, this was his partner, his guy. And after the series, he says, they don't even have arguably their best forward and their best defenseman, and we couldn't beat them. I don't know what we're going to do. And then you have to bring, you know, McFarland and Sakic and the whole thing to do a press conference. And all they talked about was, you know, they didn't see a team moving forward with three high-paid players like MacKinnon, Makar, and Rantanen. They had to make a move. They weren't going to be able to, you know, continue their success if they went that way. They're in damage control mode. So, and then Rantanen goes out and has a hat trick in the first period against Winnipeg last night. It's all coming together like this perfect storm because of everything that's happened.
Right, but it's also all, you could use two letters here, maybe I won't use them, but like the Avalanche didn't like the penalty called against them late in game 7 and they lost because of it. Like, Rantanen could have ended the series with 8 points in the final 4 periods mm-hmm. for Dallas, and they lose. Like, this is all very convenient as far as trying to pile on the Avs. They were this close to winning the series.
I don't understand how they didn't like the penalty. Like, it was a penalty, and I get it. It was Drury, right, that took the penalty?
Watch one period of Toronto-Florida last night. You tell me what a penalty is. I have no idea. That's why I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, we can talk about it
in circles. It's ridiculous. Even I feel like the referees have been insiders who never say a bad thing about officiating are tiptoeing right now, trying to say, you know, all this and not say anything about the officiating. And it's not just these individual officials. This is the lifelong problem of pro sports, not just the NHL. Confusion reigns at the most critical times. And it's unfortunate because I don't know how to answer it. I don't know how to explain things to people. It just, it is what it is. Like,
it's easy. It's easy.
What do you mean?
The officials have been doing a good job, in my opinion. They're human. They're going to make mistakes. Now, the problem that I have is that often, and very often, the league does not give the referees the tools to be able to just make sure that they get the calls right. And so one of the big things that has been coming out of the first round and is we guys got to watch embellishment. And that's something that's been talked about, is that the referees have been told by the NHL, you got to watch embellishment. And then Evan Rodriguez gets absolutely crushed from behind yesterday. They called an embellishment on Evan Rodriguez. And originally, there wasn't even any calls on Scott Laughton for the hit from behind or the boarding penalty. Now I'm saying, give your referees the chance to be able to, number one, make the right call and feel like they're going the right direction. Now you make them focus so much on embellishment that they decide that's embellishment. I feel like it's a league thing that it one game happens, the coaches and the GMs complain to the supervisor. Supervisor talks to the league. Now all of a sudden it's we got to send a message. We can't take embellishment or we can't call too many penalties. Or just let them do their job. They're going to make mistakes, but just let them do their job. Don't tell them where they have to look because they're going to overfocus on it.
I don't agree with that. I mean, if we were told not to focus so much on statistics in our broadcasts, like, would we overcompensate to the point that we never talk about them? Like, I think it's good that the league talks to the officials and says, hey,
yes,
beware of embellishment here. I don't think the referees are sitting there then fixated on it. Maybe I'm completely out to lunch, but like, one thing that they should have been fixated on, based on how this series started and how it's always an issue, is goaltender interference. And when I flip the game on and I see Aaron Ekblad go straight into Joe Wall and there's barely even a flinch and it's the same elbow to the head only from the other side of the net, nobody bats an eye, nobody even talks about it. And I'm like, this was actually harder contact than Sam Bennett on Stolarz. Now, granted, Wall had not taken one between the eyes on a slap shot, you know, a little bit earlier in the game. But I'm like, it's Aaron Ekblad. He just smashed Brandon Hagel to bits in the last round and got suspended for it. Now he's clearly doing what he wants to do, which is anything he wants. And there's nothing. And then guess what happened? 10 minutes of game action later, the game was out of control. There was no calls. There was embellishment. There was both coaches not knowing what is going on in the game.
Yeah. I think, just to go back to the Ekblad thing. So Aaron Ekblad is trying, the puck is in the air. He's looking at the puck. He's trying to get the puck. He jumps to get the puck. And then he lands and then makes contact with the goalie. Is that considered goaltender interference? Yes. I think that the referees could have easily said, hey, we're going to settle things in. Like, I'm going to call you. You went into the crease. You made contact with the goalie. I'm going to call it. Do I think Ekblad wanted to run Joseph Wall over? Not so much. And I'm like, okay, so that's part of the whole thing. But call it. Call it on the – and yes. Then after, there was a lot of calls that were missed, but missed on both sides.
Right.
So I'm going to say, okay, they decide to let it play. The players – I think understand that too. And then when it starts to calls are being missed on both sides, they take a little liberties, but it's both teams that are doing it. And they understand the flow of the game and they're like, okay, we're going to get into it. But again, I think that big part of it is that you kind of tell them to focus on something. And if that's not the point of focus, then they let it go. So that's a big thing to me. Like if you're going to say, hey, focus on, you know, the shots after the whistle and all of it, then they focus on that and then they let go the rest of it. So I don't know. I just, I think it's a hard job to do, and we can break it down and go call by calls and non-calls by non-calls. Overall, they've been okay, but I do feel the goalie interference part, like when they review a Timo Meier collision in the first round against Freddie Anderson, mm-hmm. and they don't even call a penalty on it, then I'm like, okay, you probably could have called just the 2 minutes on that and set the tone that way.
Right, exactly. And no one's blaming individuals here. I'm just sitting here saying that it's impossible to explain. And I think it's unfortunate, you know, that it becomes a talking point, but also more so from the goaltender standpoint. Like, inevitably somebody gets hurt and then the debate then rages on and you can't reverse history. And to your point exactly, like, just call a minor on Timo Meier. Like, honestly, and then call another one last night on Ekblad. Like, you always say this. Like, what's going to happen if they call a minor? Like,
who's going to complain? Who's going to complain?
Like, you can't sit there and waste three breaths on complaining about it. It's like, you're probably right. Like, it looked like goalie. You know what I mean? Like, No, you got to flip it around and recognize the reality of the situation. Anyway.
And look, we go back to Sam Bennett on Sam Bennett on Anthony Stolarz. Is that a penalty? Yes. Is that a dirty play? I don't think that Bennett is thinking I'm going to hit Stolarz in the head. He's trying to make a play, trying to score a goal on the power play, whatever. But it's also Sam Bennett, and it's like everybody else, Brad Marchand, and all these guys in that same mold.
Aaron,
like
when Ekblad, they get Aaron
Ekblad, and look, we talked about years ago, it was Pat Coletta, right? It was guys like this that knew exactly where they were. I mentioned Eric Staal yesterday on the show. Eric Staal knew exactly when he would fall on the goalie. Mm-hmm. I got pushed. I'm sorry. And then he's like, 212 pounds of Eric Staal that's rolling on top of you like he's, you know, a turtle on his back that can't flip over again. You're like, come on. Like, they know what they're doing. Uh-huh. Just call the penalty and say, I know what you're doing, and be done with it. And then move on. That's really what we're asking, and it looks like, and we got Darren Dreger coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we can talk to him about a lot of different things, Sabres, front office, Kevin Adams, everything, Eric Staal. But one thing he mentioned on the, kind of post-game, you know, Sports Center last night is that Anthony Stolarz, this could be a long, wait. Like, he's not traveling to Florida. They don't expect him to be there for game 3 and game 4. He may be a little bit longer than, you know, what sometimes it happens. You get a concussion, you get a head injury. Sometimes you come back, you know, 2-3 days long later. This could take a little bit longer.
Well, again, they don't need to do anything here. they're up.
Well,
to
was good last series. Night.
He's always been good. Like, this has never been a debate. This is why he's already has a 3-year extension in his pocket while making basically the league minimum at $766 right now. Like, this was never, like, we talked about it so many times during the regular season. The Leafs were so much better save percentage and team defense wise this year. It's why they are where they are. Like, they still have the elite scorers and their back line is way more solid than it's ever been. Not to mention,
do you buy in Brad Marchand's comments after the game last night? Oh, he's like, he's basically praising the Leafs. They are a different team.
He does this all the time.
This all the time, but he's praising. They play a different type of game. Yeah. They are so structured. It's a lot harder to play against. He's basically just, with a little smirk, like, just glorifying this Craig Berube Leafs, different approach and maturity level. And look, I was impressed by Joe Woll last night. And not that I don't think Joe Woll is a good goalie, Duffer. I think Joe Woll is a really good goalie. But when you haven't played in 3 weeks or a month, the game, especially at the level that the NHL is at in the playoffs, it's fast. And I feel like as a goalie, sometimes you kind of fall behind. Your reads aren't as good. You fall behind in your movement. He was really quick. He was reading the play well. He made a couple of really big saves, athletic saves. I was impressed with how up to the level he was right away, coming in game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Well, he played a little bit of game, game six, obviously, against Ottawa, but game one, I should say. You're right.
No, game one of this series.
Yeah, this series, game one of this series. But coming in game two of the second round like that, I felt that was very impressive.
You realize Calvin Pickard basically didn't play for like 6 years. So,
yeah, but Calvin Pickard is also doing something in Edmonton that I can't really explain.
I can, because it's called goaltending, and when there's so few of them at the professional level in North America, well, I trust that whoever steps in is probably going to be capable. And now we're going right back into the age-old dilemma, debate of how do you spend your money? Joe Wall, 766. Logan Thompson, 766. Yes, there's extensions already done for both of them. Pickard,
yes.
1 million. Charlie Lindgren, 1.1. Stolarz, 2.5. And then you have Freddie Anderson, 3.4, already being downgraded next year like a tropical storm to 2.75. So, like.
But Bob did win a cup last year at 10 million. Jake Ottinger is a really good goalie.
Hellebuck hasn't won a darn thing. And Ottinger's at 4 million and Hill's at 5, but Hill won one when he wasn't making near that. So. Yeah.
I always say, look, you would I want to have Shesterkin?
I need to describe who was the worst goalie starting this round. So, yeah, I'm a little bit on the topic of goalies right now.
Okay, so the reason why I say I can't really explain Calvin Pickard and what's going on is because every game he seems to give up a bad goal. And I'm not saying like, that one.
Do you know who used to give up bad goals? Grant Fuhrer.
I know, but listen, we're not going to talk about 1985 here. This is 2025, right? It's different. Goalies, you expect a certain level of play from your goaltending. Now, Calvin Pickard has played really well. He's won five in a row. Can't take that away from him, okay? If you tell me next year your goalie for the Buffalo Sabres, your starting goalie for the Buffalo Sabres is Calvin Pickard, I'm going to say that's not going to cut it. That's just not going to cut it. And I don't think anybody would be confident to think that Calvin Pickard as a number one goalie would be the solution to a lot of teams and a lot of organization. Now, what he's doing in Edmonton, it's working. The Oilers have played well in front of him. He's made some saves. They've defended well in front of him. They've scored goals. It's working. I don't get it. I still think that over an 82-game season, the better goalies, the Hellebuck and the Shesterkin, this year the Rangers were a mess. But the better goalies usually can prove why they're making that money. When it comes to the playoffs, it's whatever. I mean, we have seen some really high-end goalie wins, and we've seen some low-end goalies being able to get it done too. Playoffs are a different story. It's, but the regular season, I want the guys that can get it done.
You know who's riding the longest shutout streak right now?
In,
let's say North American pro hockey,
Devin Levi.
He's at 13 days and counting, and it'll be 19 days at least by the time he plays again. Did you ever in your life think of the Calder Cup and the Super Bowl in the same sentence?
No,
Like, what are we doing here? The Amerks are in their Super Bowl break right now. They're going to be 13 days between games.
Hey, I had a longer shutout streak before.
Trust me, I want them to play. Like,
I had a way longer shutout streak before.
Can't count off seasons, Marty.
Well, I shut out the Carolina Hurricanes last game of the season, and then we went to the conference finals. I didn't play again, so I was like literally a month and a half without giving up a goal. And then we went into the off season, but I was I was still in my season when that happened, a month and a half.
Cale Clegg has fallen out of the top 10 in AHL playoff scoring, just doesn't get the opportunity to add to his illustrious start. But the good news is, as I drip with sarcasm, bathing in it, quite frankly, the Amerks are opening up the next round against Laval. Mercifully, a week from yesterday. It's Wednesday, May 14th at Blue Cross Arena. Tickets are on sale now.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to seeing how that one unfolds because Rochester gets the first two. Go to Amerks.com to find out more about tickets.
Yep.
And then, as it plays out, games four and five, if necessary, would be held in Laval, home of the
Rockets. Who do you think starts for Laval game one?
Obviously Fowler, because you've been talking about it extensively.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is I read a couple of articles in Montreal, in the papers and online about, I wouldn't be surprised if Caden Primo starts the series because he wasn't there to start the series in the first round. So Fowler got going because he was backing up Jakub Dobesh when Montembeau got hurt. So Fowler got going and he played well. Primo tried to come in mid-series, lost the game. They went back to Fowler. There's some...
So what do you think? You're the goalie guy. Don't ask me these questions. You should be answering it.
I'm asking you because obviously I want to have your point of view and seeing what you're thinking.
I have no point.
I think Fowler should start. If I was the organization, I would say start Fowler. But you know, there's a point to be made here that you could start with Primo and say, look, he was the guy all year. Start with Primo. And if it doesn't go well in the first game, you could always go to Fowler after that. You could do the other way. I think Fowler starts, but there's that debate. There's that question mark in Laval. Who do you play game one in Rochester, you know, on Friday?
And as it pertains to the scheduling, obviously this is league stuff, not Amerks and Rocket stuff. Do you think they could have compromised and had a happy medium and maybe started the series on Sunday? Like, just to not wait till Wednesday? Like, 10 days would have been sufficient, wouldn't it? Like, I get it, like,
yeah,
but you can't control how all the rest of the rounds are going to go, but you can help the teams that are already in a rhythm, you know, to just keep it going. Like if at the end you end up with a break, okay, that's what precedes the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, we could have a break waiting for one opponent to catch up to the other come Calder Cup time. I just don't know why you do the break right now. I really don't.
So I'm looking right now at the PWHL playoffs and Thursday, May 8th, Montreal is playing at home. The Sunday, May the 11th, they're playing at home. So I get what you're saying. I think it comes in that the PWHL also, because they play
Rochester
at
Rochester is hosting, Marty.
I know, but I'm saying like, so two things. I'm looking at the building availability because the PWHL plays in Laval at the same building, how this comes into play. And then there's, okay, so do you want to play on Sunday and then have four days in between game one and game two? Or do you want to say, okay, we're going to get game one and game two together because of building availability, and then we're going to go to game three, four, five? I think that's why they probably waited until next Wednesday. You could have started it this weekend, but you would have had a longer break in between games in the series. They basically wanted to say, let's wait until we start it and then less of a break in the series as opposed to start it, have a long break, and continue the series later.
I don't know if I agree with that either. We're off to a roaring start today. Good news.
Well, right now the games are May 8th, May 11th, and May 18th in Laval.
What does another league have to do with this series when the Amerks are hosting it?
Well, because, so when are the three games in Laval? May 21st, May 23rd, and May 25th. They're not playing a game until the PWHL first round is complete. So if you start on Sunday, May the 11th, And then you go to play because you drive Laval in. You say, we're not going to get you guys to be in Rochester for six straight days. So you're going to play on the 11th and the 13th, and then you're not going to play until the 21st. You're going to have 8 days between game two and game three. That's why they are waiting that long. That's the easy explanation.
This is your explanation. Have you talked to the American Hockey League about this? I'm really sorry that I actually brought this up now, but I am grateful that we're only on one platform today, which is radio and not television, because viewers were seeing the exasperation on my face. We could have show issues. So.
We would have really show issues because I can see you and I'm like, I'm giving you an explanation because you want one and you're not agreeing with it. So that's fine.
This is so ridiculous.
I've had to deal with playoff scheduling.
And you got to keep in mind like what they're up against with the NBA playoffs. You don't want to go head to head with that.
Well, no, that's not what it is. But building availability plays a big role. And I've had that happen in the conference finals in the AHL playoffs where there was the circus in town and the building was not available for 10 days. So now what do you do? Yeah. Well, you have to play early and then you have days off in between. And I don't like days off, that many days off in the middle of a playoff round. I'd rather give me the days off early. But I get what you're saying. This is an AHL problem. It has been for a long time because Rochester and Syracuse were done early and Laval was waiting to play in round, and then Cleveland got this, so they started late and went to game four. It gives Rochester so long to wait, but you know what? They decided to win in three, and that works well because they get the rest.
The Amerks will start next Wednesday on the 14th. The Bandits are going to be starting the NLL Finals on the 16th in Bandit Land. They'll face Saskatchewan or Halifax. Bandits.com for tickets.
Let's break down the NLL schedule. Why are they starting on the 16th? Why
because can't they? There's still games to be played this weekend, unlike Laval and Rochester,
yes,
who could have started this week based on Laval wrapping up their series on Tuesday. Anyway, Darren Dreger next here on Sabres.
We'll ask him.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.